Today is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 6, Psalm 23, the King James Version, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Today's message is titled, Looking Up. Hear the word from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23. Beginning of verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Here ends our first reading from Scripture, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here ends our second reading from Scripture, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter beginning at the 30th verse. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and by themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "5 and 2 fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, to his disciples, to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A prayer rooted in the faith for over 1,600 years. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. This morning's gospel account is one of my favorite episodes of Jesus' life. One of my favorite, for it shows the power and compassion of the Lord our God for us. The feeding of the 5,000, not counting women and children, stirs the imagination and drives one to wonder, how did all this come to be? How did he do it? Some answer with faith, trusting the eyewitness testimony of the Holy Scriptures. Others turn to humanistic explanations, for the fantastic is unfathomable for them. Unfathomable for their minds and unfathomable for their faith, must find a naturalistic explanation, such as the boys' generosity spurred others onto and into generosity of sharing what they had brought with themselves, but were hoarding up to that time for themselves. Me, I believe the fantastic. I believe the wondrous and the impossible. Even with my degree in engineering, I believe the fantastic. Which is more fantastic? Which is more impossible? Feeding the crowd of 15,000 or rising from the dead? Which is more fantastic? Which is it? If Christ can rise from the dead, and he certainly did rise from the dead, as there are ample eyewitnesses of his rising, he most certainly can and did feed the multitudes, as this testimony from Mark chapter 6 declares. Let's step back just a bit. Step back in the passage so we can put this section into context. Mark chapter 6 unfolds with Jesus being rejected in his hometown. Familiarity with the family of Joseph and Mary and the boy Jesus growing up and the siblings of Jesus brought about contempt of him. Contempt of Jesus. As the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. The town knew the boy Jesus, and now the man Jesus is just too much for them. After only a few healings, for the lack of faith there, lack of faith which Jesus was amazed at, he and his disciples set out for other towns. A little bit later, Jesus sends the 12 out. 2 by 2, sends them out with no staff, no bread, no bag, no money, not even an extra tunic, nothing extra. Sends them out 2 by 2 with authority to teach and heal. Authority to drive out demons. Out in the twos, the disciples go, and Mark fills in during that time of the happenings concerning and surrounding Jesus' cousin John's death at the hand of Herod. So the timeline seems to be that Jesus receives this word of John's murder at the hand of Herod while the disciples are out in their 2 by 2s going and doing as Jesus sent them. As these travelers return, they tell Jesus all that they had done and taught. They preached that people should repent. And their preaching was accompanied by wonders of demons driven out and healing of many sick people. I can see the disciples returning to Jesus with such exuberance and joy. They were bursting at the seams to share their experience of what happened with Jesus. The crowds followed. So many kept coming and going, the scripture testifies they did not even have time to grab a bite to eat. Jesus says, Mark chapter 6, verse 31, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." All needed rest, as the flow of Mark's account places Jesus recently hearing his cousin John was dead. Jesus needed his rest too. So they sought out a solitary place. He boarded the boat and set out across the water seeking solitude. Their leaving was noticed and the crowds jumped into action and followed. Just like crowds follow celebrities today. Just like people, like the paparazzi, if you will. Just to get a glimpse. Just to meet. Just to talk. That was me once. I had the opportunity to meet Lisa Welchel and talk with her for a few minutes several years ago. Like that, groupies of years past. The crowd somehow arrived before Jesus and his disciples and totally blew up their plans of solitude and rest. Did Jesus get mad? Would you have gotten mad? Me, maybe. I want rest. I want solitude. Jesus didn't get mad. No, not at all. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Now, if you consider at times teaching and preaching is too long, imagine yourself at this remote place years ago hearing Jesus preach, hearing Jesus teach as the hours pass by. Yes, hours pass by. They fly by as the power and depth of empathy and compassion reaching out to nurture and feed the souls of his sheep there that day. Now the time of day was passing and the hour of the usual evening meal was approaching. "Hey, Jesus," the disciples said, "send them home. Send them out. It's late and there's no food markets nearby. Send them to the villages to buy something to eat, to get their own food." Instead of agreeing with the disciples' seemingly good suggestion, Jesus turns the tables and says, "You give them something to eat." Huh? You give them something to eat. I imagine the disciples respond with a dumbfounded stare, chins dropping and mouths wide open at first, speechless. You know that look? You do. You give them something to eat. Huh? Me? How can... And with wides in that disbelief, I mean, just showing all of them, just Jesus may have again said, "You give them something to eat." When you see a situation, you see a challenge, a problem, you give them something to eat. In other words, the Lord God has in mind for you to be the answer to the challenge. You be the difference maker. Don't look for someone else. Don't send them away. You be the difference maker. Don't wait for another. You step up to bat and you will see. You will see the wonder of God just waiting to flow through you. Yes, when the Lord has called you to do, the Lord will provide for you to do. Listen and learn. From the experience of Hudson Taylor, Chinese missionary, founder of the China Inland Mission, he writes from experience, "Depend upon it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies." God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies. We see this to be true in this wilderness years ago. And the same Lord God Almighty is here to work through you to do this same thing these same days. You give them something to eat. What did the disciples experience the previous weeks as they were sent out two by two? Remember how they went out with no bread, no money, no extra supplies, and the Lord cared for them. The Lord provided for them. How the Lord threw them. The Lord did wonders of driving out demons and healing of the sick too. Now in this wilderness area, Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And how quickly they forgot all the Lord had done through them the previous weeks. Their answer flowing from forgetfulness, 200 denarii would not be enough to buy a scrap for each person to eat. That's 8 months' wages. 2/3 of a year's wages would not be enough. Well, what do you have on hand? How many loaves do you have? Another life lesson here. The Lord begins with what you have. Will you place what you have in the Lord's hand for the Lord to use? Will you place in the Lord's hands what you have for the Lord to use? Years ago, it was the summer of 1991, I was working for Luther Memorial Camp. I went home for the weekend with one of my friends and an international counselor from Africa. We brought him along too. It slips my mind exactly what country he was from, but an interesting side note, his name was Lawrence. Interesting side note, one night on Outpost, Lawrence built a huge, huge, huge fire. We come up and go, why? It's a huge fire. I mean, it's huge. It's like going to burn the forest down. Huge. We asked, why such a huge fire? His answer was, well, that's what we do when we're out in the woods at home. We're out in the wilderness. We do it to keep the wild animals away. Well, at LMC, there's wild skunks, wild raccoons, wild... But he was used to wild animals. He was a wonderful person to get to know and a friend. Well, I went home with my friend for the weekend. We took Lawrence along, and I didn't get much sleep because it turned out they had a sofa bed in the basement. They said to me and Lawrence, there you go. And we slept on the sofa bed. I didn't get much sleep that night. But Lawrence wanted a camera to take pictures of this summer to share with his church at home. He wanted pictures of his cabin groups, of meal time together, of game time together, worship time. He wanted pictures of times of worship and campfire. So the next day, we took him to a Kmart so we could buy a camera. He had just enough to buy a simple point-and-shoot 35mm camera. Just enough to buy the camera. The camera needed batteries. And the camera needed film. That was before the digital age, which we're in now. It needed film. He didn't have any more, so I paid for the batteries and I paid for the film so he'd be able to use his camera to take the pictures that he so eagerly desired to share back home. When we got back into the car, sitting in the back seat, Lawrence takes out his new camera and says, Jesus, I give you this camera. It is yours. Bless this camera for your glory. That's what I want to sink in your mind. Not that I bought the film and I bought the battery so he could use his camera. I want to sink into your mind how Lawrence then treated the camera. Jesus, I give you this camera. It is yours. Bless this camera to your glory. His camera was not his. He was giving it to Jesus to use for his glory. My friend and I, honestly, we were caught off guard. We have never heard such words spoken before. Spoken with a richness and a depth of faith. Jesus, this camera is yours. What Lawrence did with that camera years ago, you do this day with all your things, all your resources, give them to Jesus to bless and use for His glory. That's what happened in the wilderness all those years ago. What do you have? Scrounging around, the disciples could only find a meager five loaves and two fish. Just two fish. Five loaves, two fish amongst all these people. I can hear the discouragement, the defeat in the disciples' voices as they say, five loaves and two fish. Thinking to themselves, possibly saying to each other as they returned to Jesus, "What is this amongst all these hungry people, these thousands?" After instructing the crowd to sit down in groups on the grass, Jesus received the gift of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And pay close attention to what happens next. It's written in Mark chapter 6, verse 41. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Jesus looks up and blesses. His actions, very visible, unmistakable. Jesus' actions, unmistakable. Giving glory to God. Giving thanks to the Lord God. I've seen soccer players reach down, touch the turf, the playing surface of the grass, then crossing themselves, then rising hands and pointing to heaven and looking heavenward. I've seen others touch their lips and then point to heavenwards as a prayer to the one in heaven, the Lord God, acknowledging God just before they begin their soccer match of offering their skills and talents on the pitch. Jesus looking up, acknowledging the Lord God, an attitude of appreciation, an attitude of thanksgiving. What appears to our eyes is meager portion. Jesus looks up and gives thanks. He blesses what appears to our eyes as meager portions in the hands of the living God become more than enough. Jesus breaks the bread and hands the broken parts to the disciples to distribute. The same with the fish. Then in wondrous fashion, in some manner, the mighty creating power of the Lord God acts, moves that day. Bread becomes more bread. Bread becomes more bread. Without planting, without growing, without harvesting, without threshing, without grinding at the mill, without mixing with leaven, nor taking the time for it to rise and bake, without all those things that take time, months of time, from the seed to the bread. Yes, bread. Bread. Bread distributed to all of them. The same creative wonder happened with the fish. As pieces of fish were handed out, more fish was available to hand out. Fully grown, fully edible fish. No tiny fish that needed to grow, no net to haul them in, no salting, no smoking, no drying to keep the fish fresh. Fish! Fully fish, edible fish! What does this teach us about the creating power of God? It's a huge lesson for us here. It shows us the real time. In real time, the creative power of the living God. There is no extended period of time necessary for God's creative power to work and act and make its doings. Just as the fully edible bread was created in those moments there to eat, and just as there was fully edible fish created in those moments there to eat, the very same creative power was in action in creation at the beginning. God's creative power is able and did fully form animals. God's creative power did fully form the plants. No need of time of millions and billions of years for primordial ooze somehow to chain together as amino acids that somehow become cells, that somehow become more complex things that over billions and billions of billions of years becoming. There's no need for billions and billions of years, just as that bread was bread to eat as each piece was broken off. And just as the fish was fish to eat, as each portion was handed out to her hungry, outstretched hands, the creative power of God can from nothing bring forth all of creation. Bring forth fully formed whales, bring forth fully formed cows, bring forth fully formed planets revolving around the fully formed suns in their orbit. Oh, the creative power of God. Fully formed humans, male and female, he created them. Later today, I encourage you on your computer or your smart device, find Genesis Impact. It's a movie. It's named Genesis Impact. You can find it on Genesis Impact Movie. That's the website. You can find it on YouTube. The name of this Genesis Impact. It's only an hour long. But Genesis Impact, it opens with a monologue with these questions. How many people will trust the Bible about salvation if they believe the Bible doesn't get the beginning correct? How many people will trust the Bible about salvation if they believe the Bible doesn't get the beginning correct? How many pages will we have to turn in the Bible to run into truth that we can trust? If you can't trust Genesis, how far do you need to go in the Bible before you can start trusting it as the truth? In this moment, in this solitary wilderness, this wilderness place we hear about in Mark chapter 6, a demonstration of God's creative power was unleashed by Jesus looking up to heaven, giving thanks and blessing. So much bread, so many pieces of fish created that evening in that remote place, they were all satisfied. All 5,000 men, not counting women and children, as Matthew chapter 14, verse 21 states about the same event. Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. And they had eaten, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. All ate. All were satisfied. No one was left desiring more. No one had to do as Oliver Twist did when he cautiously approaches the copper kettle and the master dressed in an apron, holding the ladle in his hand for serving in the gruel, as Oliver Twist happened to say, "Please, sir, may I have more?" In this remote place, all were satisfied. Mark chapter 6, verse 42. They all ate and were satisfied. That word satisfied means more than filled up. They were satisfied. Demonstrating clearly that creative wonder happened. Jesus has the disciples experience another learning lesson. Jesus has the disciples pick up the leftovers. Not for the reason of the camping practice of leave no trace behind, for bread and fish, they will decompose just fine and feed lots of other critters too. No, this is a faith lesson for the disciples. Just as the faith lesson of sending them out two by two with no bag, no money, no extra clothes, no bread either. Pick up the pieces, learn the faith lesson. There were 12 baskets. 12 baskets full of the broken pieces of bread and broken pieces of fish. In other words, there was more left over than what they began with. More left over than the 5 loaves and 2 fish that were on hand to begin with. Can you picture that? Finishing with more than what you started with. That's what happens when you place in the hands of God your meager resources, completely trusting God, and God does His creative wonders, and there ends up being more. Think of the widow in Zarephath. Never ran out of oil, never ran out of flour, as long as she fed the prophet Elijah a piece of bread cake first. Jesus, this day, showed himself as the shepherd David wrote about. Thou preparest a table, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus showed himself to be that shepherd that the prophet Jeremiah prophesied would come. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Seeking solitude, a time away, because of compassion, became a day of teaching, to nurture and feed the souls of the sheep that day. Then through looking up and giving thanks, the creative power of the living God was displayed through what was on hand. As the 5 loaves and 2 fish were given to the Lord, as Lawrence gave his camera to the Lord Jesus, you. You offer all you have to the Lord. Hand it all over, all you have, hand it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. As there was no other place to go in the wilderness to be fed, there's no other place to turn to feed your soul and redeem your soul and redeem your life than Jesus Christ. Jesus is God Almighty. And in Him there is forgiveness of sin and life everlasting. Repent and believe and look up, giving thanks. I bring it to a close now with a few words flowing from the experience of, again, of the missionary to China, Hudson Taylor. Quoting him, "God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow Him." Another one from Hudson Taylor from his experiences in China. "There are three stages to every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done." Another one from him. "All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them." Jesus was with them on that hillside, on that wilderness place. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Looking up, giving thanks. And the creative power was displayed. You believe Jesus rose from the dead. You believe Jesus forgives your sins. Is it not also then possible, and did happen, Jesus feeds the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fish? And now that you know that really did happen, and all that came to be was by the creative power of God speaking, "Let it be." It didn't take billions and billions of years. It happened, just as Genesis describes. Now you know. Go and share another. Share this with another. As you place all you have, all your resources, in the Lord's hand, and as He took those 5 loaves and 2 fish and did wonders, look for the wonders He'll do through you. As it says, Hudson Taylor from his experience says, "All God's giants have been weak men, weak women, who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them." The Lord is with you. The Lord has forgiven you. The Lord has prepared a table, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now go, share that good news with another. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.